Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You probably thought that we're going to return tonight to our study in 1 John, but it's not so. So bear with me. There's a season that where the Lord has us right now. I pray that you've been learning, at least, if not being stretched, that you've been learning about the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks. I pray that those who were here last Sunday night were blessed by the Lord. And tonight, I was not released to just continue this because the Lord reminded me of something I hadn't covered. And it's like, if you're going to teach about this, teach it all. You know, I thought that when I really taught on tongues, I was teaching it all this time because, you know, that's not been something that I've lifted up a lot in the past. And so we've covered it just week after week. Tonight we're not talking about that, but we're going to talk about the other gifts of the Spirit that I mentioned each time I would refer to the fact that the Holy Spirit, that baptism in the Holy Spirit especially opens the door for the gifts of the Spirit to be manifest in your life. And there are 9 gifts that are classified as gifts, or manifestations is a more accurate translation, manifestations of the Spirit of God that come through the sovereign work of God in your life, in the life of one who is filled with the Spirit of God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at those in just a moment. First, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Lord, I thank You for what You're doing. I thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for Your provision for us here in this place. And I thank You, Lord, for lives that are being touched and those who are hungering and thirsting for more of Your Spirit and desiring everything that You have. And Lord, tonight I pray that You would just continue to lay a foundation so that we know what to ask for. Because so often we don't know how to pray as we ought. And Your Spirit prays with groanings that we cannot even understand. And so, Lord, tonight perhaps there are those who are groaning in their spirit. There's more that You have for me in my life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You just continue to build us and teach us and instruct us, that we would know the way of righteousness and we would know what You have for us. And so tonight, Lord, help me. Help me to move through this in a timely manner. Give me clarity of thought and speech. Anoint my words and anoint the ears of those who have come to listen tonight. And Lord, let it penetrate deep into our spirit and be planted as precious seed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not so much preaching a sermon tonight as I am instructing from the Word of God, so that you have a complete knowledge base in this subject which we've been studying. And so we're going to actually look at this ninefold manifestation. The last two of these manifestations is tongues and interpretation of tongues. And I believe I've adequately covered that in the last 4 weeks. And so we will actually be just covering 7 tonight. And I pray that the Lord will give you insight into these things. Some of you have learned these. Some of you have been taught these things before. But I know that some of you, because we come from different backgrounds, have probably never had instruction in this. So I pray that you'll open your hearts, open your spirit up to the Lord, that He would be able to speak to you and that you would desire these things. Because how many of you remember that the Word has already taught us recently that we are to desire these gifts? Amen? You're not going to have them if you don't desire them. Okay, look at beginning with verse 4 through verse 11, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. I want us to begin with that last verse tonight. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. This is a, I want you to get this clear from the beginning. These are not talents. These are not things that have been developed just through studying the Word. These are not things that you decide, hey, I'm going to do this today in this service. These are not things that you work up. These are not things that you are necessarily permanently endowed with day in and day out. And they, neither are they things, though some people teach this, neither are they things that you receive a gift and that's your gift for life. And maybe you have one, maybe you have two. That's what many people teach. You may be used more in one gift. I will allow that. It may be because of where your faith is and your makeup and how the Lord's using you. You may prophesy more than some other person. Or you may really have faith for healing. And so God uses you a lot in that area. But it's not, these gifts are not given in this way that one person becomes a faith healer, another person runs around, their ministry is doing miracles, another person runs around and they speak publicly in tongues, another person gives the interpretation every time. That's not the way this works. In any given service or situation, it's not just the corporate assembly in a strict sense. It is for the body. But it is for the body as the body ministers in the world also. And you'll see that. These gifts may be a word of prophecy or an utterance of wisdom that comes forth in a service. Someone may say, I believe God is saying, and they've been inspired by God, and they bring forth this word. By the same token, out in the streets, the evangelism team may be ministering, and God lays it upon one of them's heart that this person they're talking to is bound up with a particular sin, and there's a word, that's a word of knowledge. They suddenly have knowledge of something they would not have known except supernaturally, and that they are able to speak, and it opens the door for ministry. So the gifts are also to build up the body, to strengthen the body, to minister to the lost. Amen? And so God, the Holy Spirit, gives these gifts as He wills. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray for them, because we've already studied that. You desire them, you ask for them, and you have faith for them, and they're a lot more likely to happen in your life than if you don't want them and you never ask for them. But then the timing of God is that you don't walk down the street and say, now I know that in the next hour, because I want to, I'm going to have a word of knowledge about somebody that I meet on the street. That's not the way it works. God, when He wants to use you as a vessel to minister to the body or to someone outside of the body, using you as the body, then when He decides, He gives you this supernatural manifestation. It's not a talent. It's not a something that you have developed. It is a supernatural gift that is suddenly, momentarily given in order to accomplish something that you could not accomplish in your own strength. Amen? Now, if we understand that, then we can begin to move into this. There are many popular teachings today, and there are more traditional teachings on this. I'm going to try to give you something that you can chew on and that you can take and that you can begin to pray for, because it's my desire. I believe that, you know, we love the Lord and we're letting Him move, and we're letting Him have His way, and we want to be equipped, and we want to be good soul winners, and we want to be good workers and servants in the body of Christ. And maybe some are now more open to the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But these other gifts we don't see manifest nearly as often as I believe we should. And I say that to myself as well as you. And I believe it's because we don't expect them, we don't ask for them, and we don't step out in faith believing that God will give them in a time of need. So, the first one is the word of wisdom. If you look at verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. This is not worldly wisdom, and this is not just wisdom that you've gained through study of the Word of God. Praise God for that. We do gain wisdom by studying the Word of God and by having the Lord live in our hearts. There's a wisdom that comes from that, and there's a wisdom that comes from experience. By just walking and having experience, there's a wisdom that's gained with age in the Lord. Isn't that right? And so there's the wisdom of the elders, the wisdom of those who have walked with the Lord for an amount of time. But this is something different. This is a supernatural urgent, a supernatural calling of where someone, God begins to stir in their heart, and they have a word that's going to bring forth wisdom in a given situation, and it's wisdom that they did not possess 1 minute before, that they did not know through study of the Word of God. certainly having the foundation and the reservoir of the Word of God within you provides the seedbed that God can bring up His Word, but it is a bringing forth of a Word of supernatural wisdom at a time when it's needed, when you wouldn't have ever thought to have said it before, and we'll expound on that just a little bit. It comes without dependence upon human wisdom, without eloquence, without persuasiveness, without human persuasiveness, but completely relying upon the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It operates in a deep level of understanding, and it can bring forth much edification to the body of Christ. Now keep in mind that it's also not the wisdom of this world, because the Bible says that the wisdom of this world is foolish, is God has made that foolish, and what we consider or what the world considers foolish, God uses to bring forth His wisdom. So this word of wisdom at sometimes would appear completely foolish to an outsider. But by the Spirit of God, it is giving forth an utterance, a direction that is needed that will be blessed by the Lord. Now, though some of you may have only had the charismatic teaching on this, which I will include, I want to show you that at its very core, if we were to study this out, because there's a mystery, there's a wisdom, there's a mystery, and Paul calls it Christ, the cross of Christ is a mystery that is wisdom. Christ has been made wisdom for us. And so at the very core of this word of wisdom gift is the preaching and proclaiming of the Word of God. Now just follow me for a minute, because it'll take me a minute to explain this. Under divine inspiration, so much that the wisdom of God in the cross of Christ might be revealed and might be proclaimed in power in a way that would not otherwise be proclaimed. Now I'm going to give you one example of that. Do you remember Stephen? Stephen was the first martyr. And when they took Stephen out and they surrounded him and they picked up stones, if you remember, just previous to that, he preached a long sermon. And in that sermon, he went all the way back to Abraham, and he came and he talked about the patriarchs. He talked about Moses. He talked about the prophecies and the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Then he talked about Jesus, and he talked about His resurrection. And the people were getting angrier and angrier. But the Bible says these words. It says they could not withstand the wisdom with which He spoke. There was a supernatural wisdom upon Stephen, not only boldness and bravery and courage and all of those things, but there was such an anointing upon him, they said, the Bible says that they looked at him and his face glowed, and it was like the face of an angel to them. And they could not withstand the wisdom with which he spoke. But the rebellion within their hearts led them to stone him to silence that wisdom. But it was God anointing him with a wisdom that he would not have been operating on just in normal conversation at any other time. And so that was a word of wisdom. He was speaking divine wisdom of the mysteries of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. That's a high level of word of wisdom. All of these gifts tend to operate in various levels. And it's not that I don't want to call it a lower level, because it's not like it's not important or not from God. But another way that it works then is that the word of wisdom also is a specific divine utterance. It's a word from God that gives wisdom in situations where you would not know what to do, or where the church would not know what to do, in order to prepare them or to protect them in times of danger or in times of change. I believe God has given us a word of wisdom at Faith Harvest concerning persecution to come, and that we should be preparing ourselves, and that we should be looking into the Word of God to understand these things. Amen? And so there's a supernatural imparting of something to the Spirit that brings forth wisdom. A couple of examples of that. If you remember when Joseph, who was anointed by God, he had the gift of interpreting dreams in the Old Testament. God would speak to him, and so he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and you remember that interpretation meant that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And then when Pharaoh heard this and was cut to the core, and at first was extremely distraught, but then he was, what can we do Then this man of God is given a word of wisdom from God. I don't believe that morning when Joseph got up, before he'd ever interpreted Pharaoh's dreams by the Spirit of God, that he was sitting around thinking and he calculated a plan. No, I believe in a moment of great danger, I mean even danger for Joseph's life, because he just brought forth an interpretation of a dream that could cost him his life, because he didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. But Pharaoh was distraught as to what he could do, and Joseph stepped forward, and under the anointing of the Spirit of God, he lays out a plan. And he says for the people that all of the grain should be, there should be like a tax, and a portion of the grain should be brought in every year out of all of the crops and stored up in big granaries for 7 years. So when the time of famine comes, Egypt would be prepared and there would be an abundance of food not only for Egypt but for surrounding nations. And Pharaoh was astounded. He recognized the wisdom that was coming from this man and from his God. And he listened, and God did exactly as he said he would do. And so that was an example in the Old Testament of a word of wisdom. Solomon, you remember when the two women came to Solomon and they're fighting over whose baby it was? One was claiming it was hers, the other was claiming it was hers, and they were about to pull the baby apart. I mean, they were fighting over this baby, and Solomon says, "Be quiet." The Bible says that God had given him wisdom because he asked for it. And there was, in that moment, it came to him. Who would have ever thought? Maybe some of you are quick thinking, but I'm not. How many of you think 10 minutes later what you should have said? Oh, I do that all the time. And it's too late. I'm like, oh, if I had only said this to him. You know? But I always think of it later and it's too late. But not someone under the anointing of the Spirit of God who's receiving a word of wisdom in that moment. Solomon said, "Someone bring me a sword and divide the baby in two. One half for this mother and one half for this." Because the Spirit of God knew that the real mother would cry out and it would be revealed which one was the real mother, which one was simply acting out of jealousy and out of hatred. And so Solomon was able to rule wisely in this case because of a word from God. Any of you who give counsel to anyone, you need to pray for the word of wisdom. People are in dire circumstances these days and they don't need just to hear your opinion. Certainly they need to hear the Word of God, but then God wants to take that Word, and sometimes maybe there are several things the Bible says about something and you're giving counsel and the Holy Spirit wants to direct you to that one thing that is right for that person and to give them wisdom for the coming things in their life or to solve things in their life. And so we all need the Word of wisdom operating as we minister to other people. Secondly, we are said that He gives by the same Spirit the word of knowledge. Now these gifts often overlap. These first two gifts are sort of in a category of their own. I don't want to call them mental gifts, but they come with thoughts and they are by the Spirit of God. And so we classify them together. Word of knowledge, again, like word of wisdom, operates on more than one level. The first level that I would share with you is that word of knowledge is inspired. It's kind of like word of wisdom, just a little different. It is inspired insight or knowledge into the deep things of God given by the Holy Spirit within the context of the body, in the context even of teaching or expounding the Word. Now, you're probably more familiar with the rest of the definition that I'm going to give you that's more popular in a moment. But I believe this is a higher level. Word of knowledge has to do with a sudden, I don't want to sound like using New Age terms or anything, but it's like a flash of inspiration that comes from the Spirit of God. Maybe you're sitting around in a Bible study and you're dealing with a subject in the Word of God and it's getting deep and there are layers of understanding in that Word of God. And the Holy Spirit stirs in a person and says, "Consider this," you know, and you see an insight into the Word of God that you never had before, and it edifies the entire body that's gathered there. A truth, a deep truth in the Word of God that is then expounded upon and looked at and examined, and God is speaking to His people. It's like anointed teaching that comes from a sudden enablement by the Holy Spirit so that spiritual knowledge is imparted. Knowledge that instructs by the Spirit of God. Now, of course, that is based in having that reservoir in the Word of God. everything that the Holy Spirit does in these gifts. Some groups are in error today, and they have supposedly received revelation from God, and it's beyond what the Bible says, and far in addition to what the Bible says, and in areas outside of what the Bible covers. And they say, well, God has revealed it, and it's equal to Scripture. That's wrong. That is an error. That is an area of deception that people can get into. But the Holy Spirit, how many of you know that? I want to clarify something for you, because you need to know this. No other reason. You need to know this. Because if you're in a church that's a Spirit-filled church, sometimes you'll hear say, "Ooh, I got a revelation on that." Okay, you're over here in another church or denomination that doesn't believe in these operations of the Spirit today. And so they criticize the Charismatics and the Pentecostals by saying they believe in getting, speaking of us, they believe in getting revelation when all the revelation has already been brought. And they think that we, and some groups are in this area, but we're not, they think that we are saying, "Oh, I got revelation beyond what the Scripture says that's like new knowledge from God, and it's God speaking just like He spoke to Paul, and so we need to consider it just as carefully as we do Scripture and elevate it to the same level." And so when you say, "Oh, I got a revelation on that," you need to understand that someone that's not in your category of Spirit-filled Christianity, they're going to think that you're saying something that you're not saying. So you need to understand what you're saying. Are you with me? To us, when we say we receive revelation, do you remember when we were talking about the gift of tongues and prophecy? It says prophecy is the greatest unless tongues is interpreted. And He says, what does it mean if I come to you speaking in tongues unless I come by teaching, by revelation, by knowledge? Well, if all of the revelation that was going to be received was coming through the apostles to give us the Bible, why would He be telling the entire church, "You can prophesy and receive revelation," and that gift was never taken away from the church? Now, I may be confusing you, so bear with me a minute. We receive revelation that is insight. It is illumination into the Word of God to unfold for us deep truths in the Word of God that maybe we've not seen before, and, if you will allow me this, that perhaps the church in a given generation has not seen before. I'll give you an example. Howard Carter was an evangelist used by God. I think it was the early 1900s. Now, these gifts of the Spirit have operated in every generation, but not always knowing what they were or understanding it directly from the Word of God. Howard Carter sat in a jail cell because he was a conscientious objector, and he was a great man of God. And he was in jail for a number of years, and while he was in jail, he began to study the Word of God, and he began to study this passage of Scripture and look into the Word of God. And he was the one in modern history, if you will. God gave him a revelation of these gifts of the Spirit and how they operate, and he began to move in these gifts, and he began to teach these gifts as he ministered all around the world, and God used him in incredible ways. It wasn't that he got something that was outside of the Bible and that it was some new truth that he was putting up there equal with Scripture. It's that he got a revelation of what was already there in the depths of the Word of God. Are you with me? So that is not building outside of the Word of God or adding to the Word of God. It is seeing into the Word of God. Likewise, Watchman Nee, many of you love Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee got the revelation and the understanding of, and he wasn't alone. People aren't alone in this. We see in part, someone else sees in part. Andrew Murray, along about the same time, was getting part of this. And Madame Guyon, no. The woman preacher, I forgot her name. She was getting part of it, and she wrote War on the Saints, Jesse Penn Lewis. And so, but Watchman Nee began to see the depths in the Word of God of the understanding of body, soul, and spirit, and the dividing of soul and spirit, of understanding what is soulish and what is spiritual in nature, that which is from our mind, will, and emotions. And so much of Watchman Nee's teachings arise out of that revelation of our body, our soul, and our spirit, and understanding that. And how many of you and I have gleaned from that? Well, that was something that God, it was in the Word of God, but people weren't really seeing it. And God used this man and gave him revelation. So he gave him this inspired knowledge of depths that are in the Word of God, a word of knowledge. Now, on another level, which is more popular today in charismatic circles, the word of knowledge is the revelation of certain facts that are outside of the scope of your knowledge. In other words, facts about a person, if you're not careful, if you're not truly grounded in the Word of God and a believer and not allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in your life, there are counterfeits of these things, and it will look very much like something that magicians would do or that people in witchcraft would do. But I'll explain to you what it is. It is when God wants to do something, whether to correct someone, to heal someone, to give somebody a word. Again, these gifts overlap. And He gives a person in the body of Christ supernatural knowledge in a moment of time of a fact about that person or about some circumstance that they did not know. For instance, you're ministering to someone on the street, and suddenly God begins to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit reveals to you this person is filled with lust. They have a huge issue with lust, and they're bound by pornography. And see, this requires taking a step of faith when you believe God has spoken something to you and saying God is saying that you need to come clean here. You're bound by this iniquity. God wants to set you free today. And they're like, how did you know? Well, it's the Spirit of God. That's a word of knowledge. It is a fact. It's a revelation about some circumstance that you did not have prior knowledge of. In the Bible, an example or two, Samuel, when he perceived that that Saul's father's donkeys that were lost and Saul was looking for them, he told him where to go, told him where he would find them. He had knowledge of where they were that came by the Spirit of God. In the New Testament, when Jesus met the woman at the well, it was by the Spirit of God. It was by word of knowledge that Jesus spoke to this woman and told her, you've had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your own. And she was astounded and said, surely you're a prophet. And that was a word of knowledge that opened the door for her to see that He was the Messiah. Because she said, no man could know these things except the Messiah. And so, word of wisdom and word of knowledge often seem to overlap. And I'll tell you how. Because you may receive facts in a word of knowledge, but then you need a word of wisdom from God as to what to do with it. And so you've got facts, but facts aren't anything without knowledge. I mean, without wisdom. And so God brings word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of wisdom by His Spirit. And I'm going to just be honest with you. I personally think, and I promise I'm not judging whether it's ever from God or not. But I personally think when people stand before a TV camera and they say, somebody out there is suffering with cancer, lay your hands on the TV screen. I just think God's a lot better than that. You know, maybe by faith some are healed because their faith rises up and they say, yes, God can heal me. How many of you know that when you're being watched by 10 million people and you say somebody's got cancer, you're going to have a lot of people laying hands on a TV screen. But when somebody stands up in the congregation and says God is saying that He wants to deal with two or three people and that this is the issue in their heart. There have been times in services where people, it's been revealed by the Spirit of God that someone was about to commit suicide, even had a gun on them, and they come to the altar, they lay the gun on the altar and they repent and they find life in Christ. God will be that specific at times in word of knowledge. And He says that we're to pray for these gifts. Amen? The third one is faith by the same Spirit. This is not the measure of faith that the Bible says we all have. Every man is given a measure of faith to believe. It's not the faith that you had when you came to Christ to believe for salvation. It's not saving faith. It's not the faith that you have to bring forth fruit in your life the faith that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's not, oh, I'm in the faith, I believe in these doctrines. It's not that kind of faith. It says, I have faith in Jesus Christ. Those are all good faiths, but it's not that. This is like faith. I tried to think of some way to put it, but it's like turbocharged faith. You know, I tried to think of those. It's like faith on a monster drink. It's like you have faith, and you're walking in maybe a high level of faith with the Lord. But then all of a sudden, God is stirring your heart. There's something, and this has happened in this congregation more times than not, and it's happened in my life and Maggie's life, that God's calling you to something that's a lot bigger than you can believe for. Doubts would be there. You don't have that kind of faith. You're just not that Superman or Superwoman in the faith. But it's something God wants to do, so much so that by His Spirit, it's like He turbocharges your faith. He turns it up. And all of a sudden, you find that you do have faith for this thing. And you're like, how can I even believe this? And you believe so much that you're willing to take a step of faith, knowing that it looks foolish to many people, and that if God doesn't come through, you are going to look like an idiot in front of everybody. But God comes through, and God does something supernatural and something miraculous and something wonderful, because He gave someone the gift of faith that is required to believe for something so big, and they believed and took a step of faith. And so that's the kind of faith that He's talking about here. It's, some people call it special faith. Now, this gift is a transition from these first two into this one and the four that come after it. And those are the ones that we're looking at tonight, because we've already covered the last two. So faith is going to be imparted by the Holy Spirit, and it forms the background for the next four gifts, which are gifts of healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, discerning or distinguishing of spirits. Now, it may also, just follow me, it may also spring forth from the first two. You'll understand this. God speaks in a service, and, you know, remember last week or week before last, I said, you know, we read that passage that says if the trumpet doesn't make a certain sound, if the sound is not certain, how will we go forth in battle? And I believe we should pray for more and more certainty in the words that we receive from the Lord, that God gives us specific words that equip us for battle, or that give us direction, that are not only edifying, but are specific in the things that God says. And so if God says through a supernatural word, and it bears witness, because the Bible says these are all to be judged by the assembly, God stands up and says, God, I believe God is saying this. Well, sometimes that's just the this that's needed to stir somebody's faith to believe it. Now, I don't want to take away, I'm not preaching heresy here. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is the absolute perfect Word of God for us. But if God speaks through an individual, and He speaks an utterance, a prophetic word, or word of knowledge, word of wisdom, maybe He speaks and says, God wants to heal people in this place today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And somebody hears that word, faith rises up within them, and they come forward for healing, and they're healed. So faith can arise because of the operation of the first two, word of wisdom and word of knowledge. When a person hears that, faith rises up within their hearts. I'll give you a few examples. Paul was on board of the ship, if you remember, toward the last of the book of Acts, and there was a storm that threatened to destroy the lives of everyone on board. Paul, you remember, an angel of the Lord spoke to him. He was fasting and praying. He received a word from God. He said, take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. God had told him there would be no loss of life, and God had also given wisdom, words of instruction for the crew and for the captain. So God gave Paul a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and then on top of that, he had a gift of faith to believe it and to stand on it when it looked like the ship was absolutely, like everybody was going to drown. So are you following me? Okay. So the gift of faith sprang up, and he knew, and he could say to those unbelievers, it will be exactly as my God has told me. We have a lot of examples in the Old Testament of the gift of faith in operation. Elijah, on top of Mount Carmel, Elijah's life is full of the gift of faith. But Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, knowing that God would vindicate Israel before the heathen, believing God for fire from heaven. How many of you are ready to do that tonight? How many of you are you ready? You're on that faith level. We're going to build an altar outside, out back, in front of, behind TLC, so they can all see. And we're going to go knock on the door, and we're going to say, if fire comes from heaven and ignites this fire, you better know that God's in this place, and you better fall on your knees and become Christians. Now, how many of you ready to go out there tonight with me and believe the fire's going to fall from heaven and light the wood? No. None of you. Because God hasn't given a supernatural gift of faith for that. We haven't heard Him give a word of wisdom saying, this is what I want you to do. And the corresponding gift of faith to know that He'll do it so that we can take a step of faith and act upon it. But He does do that. Daniel in the lion's den, at peace because he knew that God would take care of him. Gift of faith. The entire 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the great faith chapter, is one after another, gift of faith, gift of faith, gift of faith that operated by the Spirit of God supernaturally in a given time in the lives of those Old Testament believers. It's what Jesus calls mountain-moving faith. It comes by the Spirit of God. It's what George Mueller had. He almost seemed permanently endowed with it. But it's what George Mueller had when he believed God for all those orphanages in England and prayed in millions of dollars without ever telling anybody what his needs were. And when there was no food on the table and 200 orphans to feed, and they bow their heads and pray and somebody knocks on the door and there's a whole shipment full of food there waiting for them. It was a supernatural gift of faith that man walked in. It's to be asked for. It's to be desired. You need it and I need it. The fourth one is gifts of healings. We're not going to spend long on this because we could teach a whole three or four Sunday nights on healing. But this is within the community of faith as the Spirit wills. This is not one person going out around the world as a faith healer. This is where God begins to put faith in somebody in the body and they say, I believe God wants to heal this person. And you go to them and you anoint them. Maybe God says, the Spirit of God says, anoint them with oil. Maybe He doesn't. You just go and you do whatever the Spirit says. And it's not that you're a healer. I want you to understand that. You're a delivery boy. God is giving you a manifestation of a gift of healing, and you're simply the messenger and the errand boy that's taking it to the person that needs it so that the Spirit of God begins to move and that person is healed. It's not, we're not important in these things. Jesus is. Okay? So He is the giver of the gifts. He does it by His Spirit, and we're just errand boys and errand girls in these gifts. And again, that special gift of faith has to operate so that you'll step up, come up and you'll take a step of faith and go do what you believe God's telling you to do. Jesus is our greatest example as He went about healing all kinds of infirmities that were brought to Him. And so there were all, it says in the plural, it says gifts of healings. It's a gift for this one, a gift for that one. And it's not just one sickness. It's cancer. It's sore throat. It's leprosy, withered hand, whatever it was at the time. There was a gift, a corresponding gift of healing for that person that came through the hands of the Savior. You may seek to be used in the gifts of healings. It's a good thing. We should pray for these gifts. And it's not always confined to a church meeting. And it's not always by you laying hands. Sometimes it's just a gift of faith for a miracle. We'll see miracles in just a second. And I'm tying these two together. Some of you that have been here for years already know this story, and so I apologize for repeating it probably for the third or fourth time in your life here. But my grandmother, many years ago, before I was born, my uncle, her son, Ralph, he was sick and he went blind. He was in the hospital. Leave that for a second. Many years later, as a young boy, I was sitting at the dining room table with my grandmother, and you've got to understand she was a woman of great faith, great faith. She was also a very reserved Southern lady. She was not given to emotionalism. She was not Pentecostal or charismatic, but she believed the Word of God. And she was a praying woman, very quiet, about her faith. And I was questioning her because I had been reading some stuff somewhere about Jesus appearing to somebody or something, and I was just very naive and young, and I said to her, I said, have you ever seen Jesus? And much to my surprise, I've never seen this in her life, but this one time, tears began to just roll out of her eyes down her face, and she said, yes. And I was just dumbfounded. I said, what do you mean? Tell me. And she said, when your uncle was in the hospital, and he was blind, and there was no hope. She said, I stayed on my knees all night long. And just before day, as I was praying for my son, Jesus walked into the room, laid his hands on Ralph's eyes, and then was gone. The next morning, the doctors came in, and he could see. I believe that whether Jesus really walked into the room or he allowed her a vision of himself makes no difference. You can cut it apart theologically, but I believe God honored her faith. That's a gift of healing. It's not always dramatic in a line in front of a bunch of people, knocking people out of their wheelchairs. Nevertheless, it's real. The fifth one is working of miracles. You can see how faith is the transition for all these things. Everything comes by faith. This includes in Scripture these workings of miracles. It seems to me all of the gifts of power, whatever they may be. Healing would be a miracle, would fall under miracles. Some people say, no, healing's not a miracle, a miracle is something else. I believe that they're all of these things that Jesus did, and He said, you'll do the same things that I did. They were miracles, they were signs, they were wonders. Healing is a working of miracles. Deliverance from demons, casting out demons is the working of miracles. Raising the dead is the working of miracles, and yes, that has happened in modern times on the mission field when people simply believed with childlike faith. Feeding of the 5,000 that Jesus did was an example of working of miracles. Calling Peter to walk on the water was an example of working of miracles. But likewise, how many of you know the story of Corrie ten Boom? In prison camp, a concentration camp in Nazi Germany under Hitler. She and her sister Betsy. Betsy was sick. Betsy had medicine that she had to take every day. And she had to take a teaspoon out of this little bottle every day. Well, they hadn't been in the concentration camp long. Betsy was running out of medicine. They poured the last drop and she took it. And Corrie prayed. Betsy prayed. The next time she was due to take her medicine, with trembling faith, they opened the bottle up, and they poured, and they got one teaspoon out of it. And she took her medicine. And the next day, when it was time for her to take her medicine, they opened the bottle and they poured one teaspoonful. A teaspoonful a day. Day after day after day after day. God performing a supernatural miracle in that horrible, horrible place. The working of miracles is for today, just as it was then. Some of you have read the life of Brother Yun. Some of you remember when I told his story. He was in the highest security prison in China, behind three sets of bars, three gates, the barred gates, and with broken, damaged legs from being tortured by his captors. And God spoke to him, that's word of knowledge, and He said, you're going to come out of this place. I'm going to bring you out of this place healed. And then there was a time when they had taken him out of his cell, taken him to the bathroom, and left him for a moment. And God said, now is the time that you're going to leave. And he stood up and he began to walk. And he walked down the aisle. They had to carry him to the bathroom. He's not even thinking about this right now. He's just being obedient to the Lord. He walks down the hallway. He walks past the gate. There's a guard sitting there and the gate's open. And the guard's looking right at him, but doesn't see him, and he just walks right by. And he goes down several flights of stairs, he comes to another gate that's shut, and there's a guard sitting there. I don't know if the gate shut or it was already open or whether it opened for him, but they just sat there talking and didn't even see him as he walked by. And then he walked through the main level of the prison, through the courtyard, prisoners and guards standing everywhere. He's supposed to be in high security, locked away. He never gets prison yard privileges, and he comes walking through the prison yard. Nobody says a word. Nobody sees him. He approaches the front gates of the prison, and they have opened for him. And he walks through the gates, and there's a taxi right there by the curb. And he gets in the taxi and tells him where to take him, to a family that he's aware of that's a Christian family. He gets to the Christian family, and they have been told, word of knowledge, in prayer, in their worship time together, that he was being released, that God was setting him free, and that he was going to come there. And they have a bicycle waiting for him and a destination for him to go. He gets on the bicycle, and he is pedaling as hard as he can. And two things are happening. One is that they've put dogs on his heels, but it starts to flood. It's pouring rain, and so the dogs can't follow him. And then he realizes in that moment that he's been pedaling for miles and that his legs are totally healed. You got working of miracles. You've got word of knowledge and wisdom. You've got the Spirit of God moving mightily on behalf of His people. These things are not gifts that died years ago. They are for the church today. Depending upon our needs, we should believe for them and call upon God for them. Now, I'll hurry through the last two. Prophecy number 6. We've talked a lot about prophecy here, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. It operates on many levels, from a person standing up and saying, I believe God's saying this, and bringing forth a word in a service, to out on the streets, to a person standing behind the pulpit and they're preaching and they know that God's anointing it and He's giving them things to say they'd not planned to say, and there's a prophetic word coming from God. And so all the way up to those who seem to walk full-time in that as an office, the office of prophet in the church. And so there's prophecy. This was promised. Remember, we already studied, Paul said, all of you may prophesy, meaning on some level, not the office of prophet, but bringing forth the mind of God in a given situation. If you believe, you ask for it, you walk in faith with it, then you may prophesy. And that gift was promised by God through the prophet Joel, that in the end times that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. It's for men and women, boys and girls who yield themselves to the Spirit of God. It is generally immediate and by inspiration of the Spirit. However, this does not place prophetic utterances on the same level as Scripture. Amen. Sometimes it is foretelling, which also can involve word of wisdom. If you remember in the early church in the book of Acts, I think it was Agabus or his daughters that prophesied the coming famine. You know, and so then God will give people a word of wisdom. Well, this is what you need to do. This is the offerings that need to be taken up and the food that needs to be stored or whatever. Sometimes it's foretelling, but prophecy is not primarily foretelling. It's forthtelling. It's speaking the mind of God to the present situation. The last one is discerning of spirits or distinguishing spirits. Sometimes we think it just means, oh, God's revealed to me there's a demon in this one. That's not all that it means. There are different kinds of spirits, and even we have what the Word of God says, we have a human spirit. We're a spirit. Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. Our spirit's born again, where it was dead in trespasses and sin, and now it's alive unto God. Jesus looked deep into Peter's spirit. Talk about human spirits for a moment. Jesus looked deep into Peter's spirit and he saw the making of solid character. He saw into his spirit, he saw what nature he was going to work with. And he called him, what did he call him? A rock. That described the character that he was going to be in the kingdom of God. He spoke to Nathanael and he said, here is an Israelite without any guile. That means no deceit. No deceit in his heart. By the Spirit of God, Jesus was discerning that man's heart, his intents, his motives. And so the Spirit of God can give wisdom and understanding and discernment, not for the sake of a show and not to give you power, but in the work of ministry to protect especially the body of Christ. Someone can come into the body and God may give you supernatural discernment of their motives and their intent, so that you are able to be protectors, shepherds of the flock of God. Things that you would not ordinarily know. And you can see into their motives and their intent. Something doesn't sit right. Now, I want to be very clear about something. It's not to be used as a power weapon. I have known people, more than one, that have come to this church over the years. And they just almost slander somebody. Because they say, well, you know, I have discerning of spirits. You know, they've got nasty things to say, or they won't receive somebody, won't give somebody a chance at all. Because, and they're not even walking with God in a lot of the other areas of their life, but they're sitting there saying, oh, God gives me discerning of spirits. That's just tragedy. But a pure-hearted person who's anointed by the Spirit of God may see in a flash of time, in a moment of inspiration, beware. Beware of this one. Beware of how this person's operating. And you know that it's God. Another example is somebody comes forward, say, for healing, and another person, God's operating in the gift of healing, and a person believes they're supposed to lay hands and pray for them, and they begin to pray for them for healing. But then another person, God shows them, say they've got this horrible pain or this headache, and God reveals to another person it's because they've got a root of bitterness. And that person comes up and says, wait a minute, and says, God's showing me that you're bitter and angry and that you're unforgiving, and that this all of this distress and this pain is coming from this, and that you need to be right with God, and He'll heal you completely inside and out. And so that person knows nobody knew this. God revealed it, and they repent, and they're made whole before God. And then the other category is demonic spirits. God gives a person insight. This is an unclean spirit. This is a deaf and dumb spirit. This is what, there are a number in the Scriptures. This is a spirit that has been there because of terrible lust that's an iniquity in a family that's being passed down from generation to generation. Familiar spirits follow that family. This is, whatever it may be, may reveal how Satan is working. Just as Peter stood and told Ananias and Sapphira that Satan has come into your heart and caused you to lie to the Holy Spirit of God. And so there's a lying spirit. You've agreed together, he said, to lie to the Holy Spirit. Paul looked at Elymas the sorcerer and said, you son of the devil, and began to speak to him. And so, you know, sometimes when the Spirit moves in gifts, He doesn't give you nice things to say. Sometimes He gives bold things to say that confront and that challenge. That is it. I wanted to bring these gifts to you tonight. Of course, the others are tongues and interpretation of tongues, and we've covered that, I believe. All of these gifts God has given so that His church will be a supernatural church. And I want to clarify, because some of you have seen these things, just as I have, and seen such abuses. I'm not saying, you know, we've talked about this so many times. A person may be totally right with God and may be mightily anointed by God, and God may push them into a public ministry where they're operating in gifts of the Spirit. But then before long, they're on television, and their money is pouring into their ministry, and they're building, and they're growing. And I can't judge at what point or how this happens, but their heart is given over then to power, and they're living in a multi-million dollar mansion off of the offerings of God's people that come in, and they're standing up, and it looks more and more like it's them standing in front of the people, pushing them down and saying, oh, that's the power of God, and speaking words, you know, all of these. And it becomes what years ago people called magician's parlor tricks. It's just standing in the company of people and dazzling people with the things that you can do, because they go, ooh, and they go, ah. We don't want that. But what have I said about all the gifts? What did I say about tongues? Do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? No. We look at what the Word of God says, and these things are written by the Spirit of God that we might know and that we may have everything that He desires for us to have, so that His church will be a supernatural church. I want you to stand. If you do not have hunger and thirst for the things of God, I pray that you would ask God for that gift first. The gift of hunger and thirst, the gift of repentance. For those who have been following for these weeks and you want everything that God has, I want you to lift your hands to the Lord as we close our eyes. Don't look at anybody else as we go to the Lord in prayer. And in your heart, ask for what you want. And let's agree together in prayer according to the Word of God. Lord, that you would give us these gifts. Lord, that you would impart by the filling of the Holy Spirit. You would give us faith then to believe that these gifts are, they reside within us by the Spirit of God. And that we would hear your voice and you would begin to utilize, we would begin to sense you saying this or speaking to us, do this, or giving us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and the faith to act upon it. Or to lay hands on the sick and to believe for them to be healed. God's Word says that these things operate by faith. So you may even think that you have the right to believe that God is imparting a gift to you in this moment, that maybe He wants to use you today, or maybe it happens tomorrow, that you see someone who is sick and you know that God's Word says it. How are you going to ever know if it's there? You have to take a step of faith. And maybe God won't heal in that moment, but if He does, then it's a confirmation that you heard God and that He operated supernaturally in your life in that moment. Lord, I pray for me and for this congregation, Lord God, that these ninefold manifestations of the Holy Spirit would operate in purity and integrity in our lives. And God, that we would be your vessels, moving in supernatural witness to a lost world, building up the body of Christ, strengthening one another with these gifts, so that we also may operate in them as we reach the lost. I pray that you would give us, Lord, the ears to hear, the faith to believe, that we might step forth and walk in it. And Lord, whatever each person is especially asking for, whether it's a gift of healing, whether it's their prayer language, whether it is interpretation, or whether it is discerning of spirits, or word of knowledge, or word of wisdom, or any of these things, working of miracles, God, let them be so in every life here, as you will, and as you dispense, and as you impart them. We thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.